T-minus 97. Cavalieri Observatory, Trento, Italy. Timo Fiori sat in the lookout tower above his 400-meter radio telescope, once the largest in the world, with a look of grave concern on his face. Much of his recent time had been spent here in the Cavalieri Observatory, primarily for the company, but also because of a growing feeling that his presence was less welcome in the United States than had once been the case. "They're going to cut us out," he sighed to his trusted confidant Alessandro Bonucci. "Godfrey has been telling Dan that the only way to cooperate with the messengers is to break free from the UN's shackles and set up a new agency. And when Dan steps out in front of a crowd that's hostile to him for one reason or another, he's going to buckle. They're going to move everything to the old GCC building in Buenos Aires and cut out all the European voices Godfrey is blaming for the gridlock. It's so blatant." Alessandro, a young astronomer who knew Dan personally, if not quite as well as Timo did, rubbed his chin in thought. "Surely I don't have to tell you that you're allowed to disagree," Timo said, a hint of a grin almost breaking out.
"Well, since you asked for it," Alessandro chuckled. "Timo, just because Emma isn't by Dan's side, that doesn't mean she's not in his head. There's nothing in the world Godfrey could say that Dan won't be prepared for. And to be completely honest, I don't see the problem if he does lead a breakaway. The messengers will always go through Dan anyway, whether the official address of his office is in New York or Argentina. Godfrey, Slater, and Ding are joined at the hip over this whole thing anyway, so there is no fear of the kind of east-west split we saw last year. And here at Fiori Frontieri, it's not as if we're in the loop as it stands."
"But right now, no one has access to the messengers' technologies," Timo countered. "We're as out of the loop as everyone else because of these research moratoriums, but the Chinese and the Americans are going to start reverse engineering everything in Argentina. The propulsion, the force field tech, Alessandro, the telepathy. Call me old-fashioned, but those aren't things I want in the hands of those governments and their corporate associates. At least in the current system, other nations have been able to veto the research until the right regulatory systems are in place." Alessandro shook his head, very calmly. "Dan won't let anything nefarious go on under his watch, and the messengers won't cooperate on anything dangerous. Besides, Timo, look at this the other way. If Unica collapses and the research moratoriums go with it, we can step up our work on all of those things you mentioned."
"How?"
Timo yelled, frustrated and stressed by the situation rather than angry at Alessandro. "They're going to have access to the messengers and their vehicles. We've got nothing and no one. And they're not going to let us in, even if Dan asks. The startups that crowed about telepathic breakthroughs before the moratorium were selling snake oil. All this thought-proofing nonsense they're pushing is evidence of that, because there was never anything for them to research. Without access to someone who's at least experienced it, there's nothing." Alessandro leaned back and narrowed his eyes, clearly running something through his mind.
"What?"
Timo asked.
"Hear me out," the younger man began. "With the power at the messenger's disposal, and with Dan in their ears, I'm not worried about any technologies humans can develop with their help. Let's be real, they could take it all away just as quickly as their assistants enabled it. But if you're seriously concerned about the telepathic aspect, like a lot of people are, and if you're looking for a willing research subject who has had direct contact with the messengers..."
"If you say Jack Neal," Timo interrupted.
"Jesus," Alessandro scoffed. "That scumbag can rot in jail, and he will. I'm talking about Doug Parsons. You know, the police officer who was immobilized at the drive-in on contact day, along with Clark. The U.S. authorities gave him all kinds of tests, but he never got to see the results. And have you seen his media appearances lately? He says he started having vivid dreams about the messengers and hearing voices when he's in a crowd. He's lost his job, his family. Not quite a total descent into madness, but he's on the way. I think if we told him that we could run tests and show him the results with a participation payment for his time..."
Timo rose to his feet.
"Shit, you're right. Parsons. And you can't be the only one thinking it, Alessandro. Even if it'll almost certainly go nowhere, we need to try to bring him here before anyone else gets to him. I am worried about how Godfrey and his cronies will apply what they learn about the neurological changes caused by this kind of contact, and anything we can learn could be a defense against those applications. If this turns into an arms race, what we might learn from Parsons could be a shield against weapons we can't even imagine. I do think you're worrying far too much, but I also think Parsons is someone we should work with, Alessandro replied. I'll get someone on it today. Thank you, Timo said. But discreetly, of course. Oh, and excuse me, he added as his phone began to ring. Very few people had a direct line to Timo Fiori, so Alessandro watched and listened with interest as he answered the call. Ah, Billy, Timo began, settling the main question. How have things been? Oh, slow down, slow down. Start again. Alessandro, knowing all about the extensive network of dig sites Billy was overseeing with Timo's financial assistance, felt his heart quicken as the excitement built on his boss's face. Timo hurried back towards one of the tower's many computers, but stopped mid-stride. His expression then morphed from intrigued to positively stunned as Billy's words sunk in. Although he'd heard perfectly, one question automatically escaped his lips. You found... What?